Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How did the Imams manage to spread the true teachings of Islam in an environment that did not allow them and their Shias to openly teach and practice their faith? How did the Shias pay their Islamic dues to the Imams rather than paying them to the oppressive rulers? And how did the Imams access their followers, do their tarbiyah, help those in need, and guide those truly seeking guidance? Two words, the network of representatives. So how did this network actually function? The system was managed as a pyramid, the Imam right at the top and a number of people as representatives in a hierarchical order, with the most knowledgeable and pious and close companions at the top of this hierarchy. Different words have been used by the Imams and later by the scholars to refer to these representatives, such as Bab, Wakil, Safir, Qayyim, and Naib. The Imam himself appoints people as representatives at different levels and then makes sure to inform the people concerned and gives the wakil clear instructions on what he needs to carry out and where. Some had roles in specific regions, whilst others were constantly traveling between regions. The members of the system were all connected like the veins in a body, all reporting back to the heart, the Imam. The companions would hold meetings with the Imam, send and receive letters from the Imam, and send and receive funds, all of this very tactfully. The purpose of this was to cater for the guidance of the people and the protection and spread of the true teachings of Islam across the entire state. The Imams cared for their companions as well as for the Shias and the Ummah, and this showed itself in their interactions and how they dealt with the different situations, doing their very best to avoid anyone falling into danger and any blood wasted. Of course, with the oppressive regime having spies everywhere and the continuous pressure on the Imams and the Shias, unfortunately several people ended up losing their lives, sometimes even after being imprisoned and brutally tortured. This is why a very important factor that allowed the system to continue existing is its secrecy and doing taqiyah when necessary. As you remember, taqiyah is about concealing the truth not out of cowardice, but out of wisdom. Evaluating what Islam expects from us in every situation and what benefits Islam and the Ummah at every moment in time. Taqiyah isn't about withholding guidance, rather it's about guiding in a manner that befits the person and situation. Another important element required for this system to function is wilayah and brotherhood between the Shias, as well as between the Shias and their Imam. And yet another important element for the system to work is selecting the right people in each position. One of the main things that shook the system a few times in its history was the betrayal of important wukala who chose to let go of the truth and follow their desires, and as a result causing confusion and misguidance for the people. But alhamdulillah, this is where the hard work and insight of the Imam and the other wukala helped restore stability to the system and continue its work. Basically, this legacy we have today has come through a lot of hard work and sacrifice. So let's value it for what it truly is. Anyways, I'll stop here. This is supposed to be just a recap. So check out session 21 to hear the very many reports and narrations explaining the system in more detail.